leader of the Islamic Revolution recommends traffic police to take safety measures on highways. Iran to launch indigenous Zamoranti destroyer in Caspian Sea. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says Europe needs Iran to keep up economic growth. Iraqis mark 25th anniversary of Halabja gas attack. And Saudis hold anti-regime protest in Qassim. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of IRIN and English News with me, Niyuan Chitsas. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, recommended the traffic police to adopt measures for safety of highways on Nowruz holidays. The leader made the recommendation in a meeting with police officials in charge of highway traffic arrangements for Nowruz, the beginning of New Iranian Year. Ayatollah Khamenei said, ensuring safety of the passengers is one of his major concerns. The leader urged the officials to do all within their reach to secure safety of passengers. Nowruz marks the first day of spring and the beginning of the year in the Iranian calendar. It is celebrated on the day of astronomical northward equinox, which usually occurs on March 21st. Iran is set to launch the indigenously built Zamoran II destroyer in the Caspian Sea in the presence of President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Zamoran II, a wave-class warship, has been designed and manufactured by experts at Iran's Defense Ministry and has state-of-the-art navigation equipment and complex defensive systems. The Zamoran II destroyer is a symbol of the Islamic Republic's capability and strength and conveys the message of peace and friendship to the Caspian Sea states. Iranian Defense Minister Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi and Chief of Staff of Iran's Armed Forces, Major General Hassan Firouzabadi, will also attend the ceremony to launch the warship. Zamoran II will officially join the fleet of Iran's Navy within the next 6 months after the completion of final tests. In recent years, Iran has made great achievements in its defense sector and attained self-sufficiency in producing essential military equipment and systems. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says the European countries need Iran's assistance to continue their economic growth and development. Rami Mehmanparast said the Islamic Republic of Iran can be a very good economic partner for the European countries. He added that the Islamic Republic can serve as a long-term energy supply source to the European countries because the country sits on the world's second-largest natural gas and the fourth-largest crude oil reserves. Mehmanparast further stated that the member states of EU have great capacities, but they have suffered great losses due to their economic dependence on the crisis-ridden economy of the US. He added that at the moment we are witnessing social and economic crises in the European countries, which have taken some of these countries to the brink of total bankruptcy. Meanwhile, the Iranian diplomat said the Zionist regime uses the case of 1994 aiming at Jewish center bombing in the Argentinian capital of Buenos Aires to obstruct the development of relations between Iran and Latin American states. Mehmanparast said Iran has been charged of being connected with the Amia incident by a regime which pursues state terrorism. He added the Zionist regime has been trying hard to disrupt Iran's regular activities within Latin American countries under the pretext of Amia bombing incident. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman further said the Zionist regime has been trying to falsely accuse the Islamic Republic of being involved in terrorist activities. Mehmanparast said this comes despite the fact that the Iranian nation is the biggest victim of terrorism and has always made every effort to eliminate this sinister phenomenon. Elsewhere, the Iranian foreign ministry spokesman said differences between Iran and certain regional countries over Syria should not harm bilateral relations. Mehmanparast said expansion of relations with regional countries, particularly neighboring countries, is among Iran's top foreign policy priorities. He underlined that the existence of differences among regional countries over various issues is natural, saying, holding negotiations is a way of patching up differences. An Iranian delegation is due to visit the Turkish city of Istanbul to attend an expert-level meeting with representatives of the P5+1 group. The delegation of Iranian experts will be in Istanbul on Sunday to hold talks with experts representing the P5+1. At their latest round of talks, which was held in Almaty, Kazakhstan, on February 26 and 7, Iran and the P5+1 agreed to hold an expert-level meeting in Istanbul on March 17 and 18. Both sides have expressed hope and optimism about the future of the talks. Armed groups inside Lebanon have shelled Syrian army targets. Meantime, the United Nations criticized French President François Hollande for his proposal to lift an EU arms embargo on Syria, describing it as counterproductive. UN spokesman Eduardo Del Boy said Hollande's plan, which allows weapons supplies to Syrian militants, will not lead to a solution to the ongoing crisis in Syria. He reiterated UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon's opposition to the proposal, saying President Hollande knows what the secretary's views are. People in northern Iraq have marked the 25th anniversary of the chemical attack on Halabja town by former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein in 1988. Thousands of Iraqi Kurds joined the memorial ceremony for the victims of the deadly chemical gas attack on Saturday. Some 5,000 people, mostly women and children, were killed after Iraqi jets dropped poison gas on the town, which is located near Iraq's border with Iran. Another 7,000 were injured, crippled, or suffered long-term health problems in the attack. Mourners held pictures of their dead relatives and observed a minute of silence. Tens of thousands of people have taken to the streets in the southeastern Iraqi city of Kut to express their anger at sectarian violence in the country. The protesters, who were the supporters of the Iraqi Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr, chanted anti-US slogans during the demonstration. The demonstration was also aimed at marking the 10th anniversary of the US-led invasion of Iraq. In an address to the crowd, Sadr warned people against being dragged into sectarian violence amid rising political tensions in the country. The incident comes as people in some western parts of Iraq have staged protests against the government of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, accusing him of discrimination. Maliki rejects the accusations. The official U.S. war in Iraq may be over, but the battle scars still remain, both physical and emotional, for soldiers and their families. In 2003, a new chapter in the history of U.S. military started with its campaign of shock and awe. The war in Iraq launched in March 2003 and came to an official close in summer 2011, leaving many soldiers struggling to return to a normal life back at home. Since March 2003, 4,487 U.S. troops were killed and 32,226 were wounded. Of those who served, 30% developed serious mental health problems within 4 months of returning home. Veterans from both Iraq and Afghanistan, nearly 1 in 5 are diagnosed with post-traumatic disorder, PTSD. The number of servicemen and women diagnosed with PTSD since 2000 totals more than 30,000. Also, the average rate of suicide is nearly 1 a day, and veterans account for 20% of all suicides in the United States. The youngest service members between the ages of 17 and 24 have a rate of suicide 4 times higher than their older colleagues. In 2012, 349 service members took their own life.
Well, I know that my wife, when we lost Stephen 6 years ago, one of her first decrees to the youngest two boys was that they could not join the military. I don't think that was a vote so much on her part. That the military was not a good place to be, but I think she felt that we had paid enough and that she wasn't open to the possibility of ever losing another child.
All right, here's another look at tonight's top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution recommends traffic police to take safety measures on highways. Iran to launch indigenous Zamorano to destroyer in Caspian Sea. Iran Foreign Ministry spokesman says Europe needs Iran to keep up economic growth. Iraqis mark 25th anniversary of Halabja gas attack. And Saudis hold anti-regime protest in Qassim. Demonstrators in Saudi Arabia have staged another protest rally against the Al Saud regime in central province of Al Qassim. The outraged protesters took to the streets in the city of Bordia, calling for the immediate release of political prisoners, including a group of women who were recently arrested. Earlier on March 1st, Saudi security forces arrested over 300 people, including 15 women, in Al Qassim province. The arrests took place after hundreds of Saudis staged a protest sit-in to demand the release of political prisoners. Saudi activists say there are more than 30,000 political prisoners, mostly prisoners of conscience, in jails across the kingdom. Meanwhile, a Saudi preacher has called for reforms in the kingdom, warning that denying the rights of people is increasing tensions across the country. Salman Al-Ouda said, "The people have aspirations, demands and rights, and they will not stay silent in total or partial confiscation of their rights." The preacher also called for reforms and coming of a new horizon for Saudi Arabia. Al-Ouda warned that growing tension in the kingdom was due to corruption, unemployment, poor housing, weak health and educational services, and a lack of political reforms. He criticized regime crackdown on protesters, saying a security solution would only aggravate the situation and block the path to reforms. Al-Ouda called for the immediate release of human rights activists and political prisoners. Aden goes on a strike as Yemen National Dialogue meets separatists have held a general strike in the southern Yemeni city of Aden in protest to start a national dialogue to end the political crisis in the country. Public services, businesses and offices remain closed for 6 hours on Saturday after a call by the pro-secession southern movement. Protesters have closed the main roads with stone and blocks and security forces have been deployed across the city. The Southern Movement has boycotted the national dialogue that is scheduled to be held on Monday and calls for autonomy or the complete independence of the South. Separatists have been protesting every Wednesday and Saturday since last month to show their outrage at the deaths of activists in clashes with security forces. On March 13, two protesters were killed in clashes with security forces in Aden. Many thousands of demonstrators held march in more than 20 cities in Portugal to protest against government-imposed austerity measures aimed at lifting the ailing country out of recession. A correspondent has a scoop from Lisbon.
Tens of thousands of people joined today's demonstration of the public administration workers. The finances minister presented this morning the results of the seventh review of the Troika, announcing 20,000 employees from the public administration sector will lose their jobs. These three women are teachers waiting for their union to pass so they can join the protest. Young and old people want government resignation. Sadness, despair and a lot of anger for the government and its decision for more austerity and cuts.
É sobretudo isso. A fome, o desemprego, todas as dificuldades.
Pedro Alves shouts, "Catch him, he's a thief," referring to the Prime Minister. He believes people should continue to come to the streets to demonstrate against this policy.
Even though the finances minister didn't announce clearly more austerity measures this morning, new numbers were presented. Unemployment rate is now 18.2% and can reach 19% in 2014, and recession is now 2.3%. A number quite different from the 1% announced 6 months ago by the government. Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kabar, Lisbon.
A NATO helicopter has crashed in southern Afghanistan, killing at least one U.S. foreign trooper and wounding another. The helicopter crashed in the Daman district, a few kilometers west of Kandahar city, in Afghanistan's southern province of Kandahar. NATO confirmed the incident and said the cause of the crash is under investigation. However, NATO officials did not report the nationalities of the casualties. In a similar incident, a U.S.-led helicopter crashed overnight in Kandahar City's Daman district, killing five American soldiers on board on March 11. The worst such helicopter crash was in August 2011, when the Taliban shot down a CH-47 Chinook, killing all 38 people on board, including 25 U.S. Special Operations troops. Hundreds of Afghans protested against the U.S. military presence in troubled Wardak province on Saturday, chanting U.S. Special Forces out as they marched to parliament in the capital, Kabul. The demonstrators demand the release of 9 local citizens who are detained by the U.S. forces. Afghan President Hamid Karzai has demanded all U.S. Special Forces to leave the province early last week.
We are protesting. We want to see the implementation of our president's decree, and we want the American Special Forces to withdraw from Wardak province.
If we can't get a riot, then we will use all the means necessary. Our last option will be a national uprising against this government and the U.S. Special Forces.
And that's a wrap for now. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Till then, take care and have a great time. Goodbye now.